Please make it loud for Jamel Johnson.
Oh, wow. Just, oh, man. Wow. Can you believe it? Unbelievable. Oh, man. Keep clapping. Yes. I demand it. And clap with some zest, too. Put some fucking zeal on that shit. I need this bad, man. I need this real bad. And y'all are not about to fuck this up for me. Laugh when you're supposed to, nigga. White niggas especially. Laugh when the fuck you know when you're supposed to. I don't give a shit if the shit is not funny. Nigga, laugh. I'm sick of y'all opinions. Over it. It's my goddamn album. And it's coming out. I know this one's coming out for real because I'm not the one recording it. We got some white guys in the back recording this one. So it's coming out for real. Yeah. Turns out the generic Costco laptop cannot handle my comedic veracity. Yeah, Kirkland make laptops? They absolutely do. So I'll introduce myself to some of y'all. My name is Jamel. I'm a DJ. But I'm black, so you have to think I'm good at it. You have to. These are the black privileges. One, I get to DJ with impunity. Two, whatever I got on, you have to think it's artistic and beautiful. Doesn't matter.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Nostalgia Mixtape. Music, memories, stories. Sitting here by the campfire, I'm your host, Saman Ashrawi. Thanks for coming by. Today, we have one of my favorite people in the whole world, Mr. Jamel Johnson, a comedian, actor, a sports enthusiast, general sports enthusiast, also specific sports enthusiast. You can get a little bit of both with Jamel. Jamel and I met in my days working in Hollywood. Maybe those days aren't over though, we'll see. There was a series that I had created, it was a web series called Kaleidoscopes. And the concept of this series was Jamel as the host, and basically every episode would be quote-unquote celebrities, famous people, getting really stoned, looking into kaleidoscopes, reviewing them, but also getting existential. That was the whole concept. And we taped a bunch of episodes, and it eventually got bought by Snoop Dogg's production company, Mary Jane, and never got off the ground. So the world may never see it. Though I do have a bunch of episodes like sitting on a cloud somewhere. So maybe I actually will unleash those episodes one day and just let people get a little taste. But yeah, Jamel is one of my favorite people in the whole world. When I was working at the studio, anytime he would be on the west side of LA, he would hit me on my phone, be like, "Yo man, what you doing?" And I would be doing the same thing that I've been doing every day, which was just sitting at my desk, being bored, I guess, at work. And he would come through and we would kick it. And, you know, when I look back on that time, those were some of my favorite days at the office, was when Jamel would come by. Because he's such a funny dude, but you'll hear it in this episode, like, his humor, it comes from, like, a place of love and tenderness. And it's what makes me want to watch any stand-up material that he puts out online. It's really, really special to me. Yeah, and also, you know, on a personal level, Jamel has also, like, coached me through affairs of the heart. There was a time in my life when I had a crush on a young woman, and I was feeling really apprehensive about, like, sending that text message and letting her know how I feel. And me and Jamel were sitting at a taco spot, and I was telling him all my anxieties about it. And he was like, "Man, if you don't just send that text message." And I was so scared. And then Jamel hit send on that text message, and I was like, "Oh no, now she knows how I feel. What if she rejects me?" And then she texts me back and she was like, oh my gosh, I would love to see you tonight. Whoa, amazing. It wouldn't happen without Jamel. Ended up being one of the most memorable nights for me in Los Angeles. So yeah, Jamel, one of my favorite people, one of the funniest people, one of the most loving people. I'm excited for y'all to hear his episode. I'm gonna stop talking now. Welcome back to the Campfire Nostalgia Mixtape. I'm Samantha Shrawy. Here's Jamel Johnson.
Hello, my name is Jamel Johnson. I'm from Woodbridge, Virginia, and I just signed the lease on a new apartment.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, bro.
That's huge. I'm happy for you.
Hey.
We got things to celebrate. Let's go.
Huge.
I'm ready. All right. Wow. Jamel, I just want to say thanks so much for coming in and
bro.
Being here.
Dude, thanks for having me.
It's a time, man, that we're having.
Bro, dude, I haven't seen you in like months.
It is so good to see you, man. I gotta say that.
Hey, man, you're one of my guys, man.
I would like to say in return that you are also one of my guys.
One of the first dudes I ever even messed with in LA. Been here like 3 years.
And that was about the time that I moved back out here for another time.
Yeah.
And then we met.
Like, arrived at the same time and did kaleidoscopes. Thanks for putting me down on that.
A lot of doinks were smoked.
Yo, we smoked big doinks.
Doinks to the neck.
In and out of Amish.
Yes. In and out. We took those doinks across Amish lines.
Yo, I'm a big doink head. I'm not ashamed to say it. I smoke doinks. I'm putting up blunt positive content.
Right.
On my Instagram. That's what I'm doing. That was a joke. And like, people took it pretty seriously. People were like, thank you for saying this.
Yep.
Yeah, for the list. Okay, so you know like those like you know those posts of like hot people, like it's kind of a hot person move.
Okay.
It's like someone posted like a really beautiful photo of themselves.
Right.
And it's like a 3-paragraph caption.
Right.
That's like, yo, like straight up, like I'm going through something and like I love y'all and everybody needs to love everybody. Mm-hmm. And like I was ashamed of my calves for a lot of time and like fuck that. Here go my calves, bro.
Love my calves.
I'm not playing with y'all.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yo, I'll just do one of those, but about smoking weed.
Okay.
Which is not... Smoking weed, which is as much as I love, it is not a thing that should be spoken about with any sort of gravity.
But you did that. You did that.
I had to. I had to do it for my people.
You honestly had to do it.
There was no other option.
It was an option.
That's why it happened.
Yeah. And I think we're better for it.
Dude. Me too, bro.
I just want to say that.
I'm not going to even act like I don't, but agree. I do.
We don't talk about it enough as a society.
Just like, getting dumb high?
Yeah. It's not in the cultural lexicon. We don't, you know what I mean?
I know. Something happened with weed. Because it was like illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, if you knew, you knew.
Mm.
And then like everybody found out. And what changed?
I think it was like, you know, once it went legit, it became less cool.
Yeah, like it became legit as I got older.
Yeah.
Lately I've been thinking maybe I'm too old to get high because so many people I know don't smoke weed.
Mm.
And it's just like, I'm just a little tired of like feeling weird at a dinner party.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was like a party.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a dinner party?
Yeah, we got like silverware and shit.
Okay. I mean, I'm, you know, I got on some slacks. You know, I'm not like fucking up, but why am I the only person who's trying to smoke a dupe right now? Why are there 8 of us and like 2 whole lamb shanks, this decadent meal?
Does the fork go on the left side of the plate or the right side? I don't know.
What if I don't want to be drunk?
Yeah. You don't gotta get drunk to have fun.
Yeah. But you do have to get high.
That's true.
You actually have to get high to have fun. That's like just the truth.
Yep.
Jason agrees.
Should we get high right now?
I mean, bro, that's not crazy. I don't know how this space works.
Well, we're the only ones here, and I also have a vape pen, so.
Hey. Can we get digital?
I have asthma, so I'm trying to take it easy.
You're off the squeezies?
You said it more eloquently than I could. But, you know, we could watch a scene or two of Space Jam.
Yeah, I ain't bad.
You know what I mean?
That's how me and my friends used to say that when we were talking about smoking weed.
What was your code word?
It was like, we're going to go shoot a scene.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Come Our on. Code word was Space Jam.
That's awesome.
So it was like, it was very versatile. Like, we could be like, yo, David just went to Blockbuster, picked up a copy of Space Jam. Mom, do you mind if I go over and watch it with him? And like our parents just like thought we loved Space Jam.
Yeah, love Space Jam.
Yeah, we really loved it.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. So, and then it would be like, okay, tell me if you're following along. It would be like, okay, David has a copy of Space Jam, but he doesn't have a DVD player.
Hey.
If you know what I mean.
Get some raps.
Zach has the DVD player. He's coming with it. Chris has the remote.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Yee.
And now we're watching a movie.
And now we got a whole film to digest. I get this.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
But y'all's was, we're going to go shoot a scene.
We're going to go scene. We're going to go work on a thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to do some screenplay stuff. We're going to work on the script. Stuff like that. Mm. But then also, like, then my other homies used to say they were playing Onimusha. You remember that game, Onimusha?
Oh, I don't. Tell me about it.
It was like a PS2 game. Okay. It was like, how would I describe it? It's kind of like this open world thing where you're like a samurai in like feudal Japan.
Okay.
And you're just like running around with a sword, chopping up mad shit. Mm-hmm. You ever play like Dynasty Warriors?
Slicing and dicing? No, I didn't play.
So it's just like that. Like imagine just like a samurai on a horse.
Is it first person you're in or is it third person from
third
above?
Third person.
Okay, okay.
From above.
Okay.
And you're just slicing up mad feudal lords.
Is it like Red Dead but the samurai version?
It's a little bit of that.
Similar?
Yeah. Samurai Red Dead is a great
Okay.
Early Samurai Red Dead, and we would like be like, yeah, let's go play Onimusha.
Right.
We love Onimusha.
But you weren't playing. But maybe sometimes you were playing Onimusha while you were playing Onimusha.
Yeah. A little bit. A couple times. Honestly, we'd be playing other video games.
Okay.
I feel like Onimusha only got played once.
But it was your scapegoat.
Yeah, it was the scapegoat, and then we would actually get high and like play Street Fighter.
Wow. I mean, that's a great game to play.
Yeah.
In that mindset.
One of the best. Yeah. Like there is a kind of high you can get where you know all the moves in Street Fighter.
Wow.
And it's like, it's really hard to attain.
Yeah.
Because it's not as high as you can be, but it's close. It's dangerously close.
Yeah. And you know this.
Yeah, I know it from experience.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking to a real veteran right now.
Because I remember it was 2013. I was getting real high.
Yep.
And I finally learned all the moves with Zangief on Street Fighter Alpha 3 mm-hmm. on the PSP.
Yep.
Never got that high again. I've been chasing that feeling for 6 years now.
Wow. Wow. It's a real national treasure situation. You're going to have to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Well, fucks, man. What's good with you?
Man, I've been going through it. I've been going through it, Jamel. Let me tell you what.
Talk about it, baby.
This is a depression beard, man. Come on.
Whoa, yeah, it's slight. I ain't even peep. Yeah.
Actually, I was freaking out today because we took a picture outside earlier, and just the shadows hit my face in such a way that it made my facial hair look real patchy. It's not. It is a little patchy, but it's not that patchy.
Yeah, nah.
And like literally on my birthday, Bun B was making fun of my facial hair.
That'll work.
And he was like, "Man, look, if it's not gonna connect, like, you know, take it easy."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I appreciate that."
He's not wrong.
He's being real.
He's not wrong.
He's being real with me, and I appreciate the realness. But it was my birthday.
Yeah.
So now I feel like I'm doing it to spite him.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
You're gonna make it work.
Yeah.
Throw a couple oils on that thing, man.
That's great advice.
Get some shea butter in there, some one of them argons. Get an argon.
What would I do without you, man? I appreciate you.
Aw.
Thank you.
Come on, dude. Stop.
Okay, let's talk about OxyContin. OxyContin, Xanax bars, Percocets, and Lorotep. Values, morphine, patches, ecstasy, and it's all up a grab. What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man. What you want, what you need, hit me up, I got you, man. OxyContin, Xanax bars, Percocets, and Lorotep. Not necessarily specifically the drug, unless you have experience with that.
Not really.
I
mean, I have one experience.
What was that?
I like did it once.
Okay.
And it was after, it was years after I heard the song for the first time. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like I was like living at home after high school, and like, my mom just had like some like old, like, it wasn't even oxycodone, hydrocodone. Okay. Isn't that like the generic version of the same stuff?
Could be.
Yeah, it's, so it's generic Vicodin. So it's not even oxycodone. Mm-hmm. But
they're cousins, just, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was just the one time I ever did. Yeah. It was, I was just like, let's see what happens.
What did happen?
I, you know how I would describe it? I, at the time I said I felt like a walrus with no legs. The thing about that is a walrus already doesn't have legs. That's exactly what I was just like. I was just like laid up in bed. Like real hot.
Yeah.
I think I just like listened to some TV. Mm-hmm. You ever been like just so fucked up it. That you're just listening to the TV? You can't look at it.
Totally.
It would totally fuck up your day to look at what's on the TV. But you can listen to it for a while.
Yes.
So I was in one of those zones.
Gotcha.
It's like when you're really like high or drunk or sick. That's when it's TV listening time. Damn. Just took me back to, I had food poisoning during the fucking, like the AFC conference, like finals one year. Oh, it was like the Patriots versus somebody. And I just like listened to the game. Like I was so sick, I couldn't watch it.
Sometimes you don't want that light when you're sick. The light gives you a headache, you know what
and
I mean?
I don't remember who the Patriots were playing, but they won.
I'm sure they did.
And I just like was, I like didn't want them to win. I listened to them win, and then I threw up and pooped my pants.
At the same time?
Yeah.
That's a real trifecta.
It was a real cruddy day.
That's like a higher level of being, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you did that.
It fucking sucked.
I'm so sorry, man.
Apology accepted. thank you. Thank you for taking some ownership of that.
I felt like it was the least I could do, given the circumstances.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, man. So the song Oxycontin by Memphis's own.
Lil White. Jason, you from Memphis?
No.
Oh, okay. You're just shouting out the city.
But he knows.
Yeah, of course. I mean, all the real heads remember Lil White.
Yeah.
Spelled W-Y-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
Coolest way to spell it.
Easily the coolest way to spell it.
If
not top three, for sure.
An underrated 3-6 Mafia artist?
I would agree.
Or Hypnotized Minds?
I would say he and Project Pat don't get the love they deserve. Neither does Gangsta Boo.
Ooh, Gangsta Boo is really good.
Yeah.
Better than LeChat? Close.
Am I ready to have that debate? I don't know.
Killing me, bitches, so softly see my discography. You best get off of me. Bodily harmony. I would not follow the end to the light because I like darker than bitch. And I'm with the shit, I'm like easy to split. You two don't wipe me as quick as it gets. Testing my gangster, I'll feed you the pits. Commit the unthinkable, I will admit I do. Who the fuck are you? All up in my business trick. I be just coolin', fooling around with whoop and chat your bitch. I don't do the talking game. He say, she say, what's her name? I'm so gone off Mary Jane. Smoking on that paper plane. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which hoe will go when I say go? If you tell me no, I will politely kick you out my door. Money train, I'm cashing checks. Ballin' off, I'm in my bed. Flexin' with my killer set. My phone and bitch will leave. Yeah, White was up there, and this song, it was, honestly, it was early on in me smoking weed years. This is one of those moments, which is why that led to me being addicted to marijuana. I was in Woodbridge, Virginia, and it was like, you know, like one of those first times you get like real stoned, and this was that one. It was like, I was like a junior in high school, and I went to a different high school the year before.
So you were new.
So I was like new, but I was going back. Like I went to Potomac Senior High School my freshman year, and then I switched to Forest Park, and then I went back to Potomac.
Okay. So you knew people.
Yeah. So I knew people, but this was like, but I would never hung out.
Okay.
My parents wouldn't like let me go out, and so like junior year is when I started to like be allowed to like go out. Mm-hmm. Into the Woodbridge universe.
Do you have a car?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
I do. Okay. I'm driving a 96 Honda Accord.
Wow. Yes. Reliable, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was sick.
Yeah.
And I had the custom tags. I had
the custom plate?
Yeah, I had the Washington football the plates, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like I was big time. And it was one of the first times, like, I think my parents were gone. Mm-hmm. Like, my little brother had, like, a basketball tournament in, like, New Orleans or something.
Far away.
So, fools are gone. I have a car. I'm 15.
Ipso facto.
I think I'm cool as hell. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, going to hang out with the Forest Park dudes for, like, the first time.
Okay.
Going back into... And Forest Park is, like, Woodbridge is the suburbs entirely. But, like... The neighborhood of Forest Park is like rich kid town. It's okay. Called Montclair. Okay. And it was like a real, like, they tried to make it like a private community. It's like they got a golf course. Mm. And the high school, they tried to zone it in a way where only the people who lived around the golf course went there.
Insane.
And like they wouldn't let them, like the county wouldn't like fully let them do it. But like that was the whole vibe. So I'm hanging out with some like crazy white kids
named probably like Parker and Trey.
Yeah, and they were like twins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like my man, I'm with my man, I don't even know these other kids, but we're at their house. Mm-hmm. And they're like these like scene kid.
Yep. With the bangs, that have the bangs,
they got like but it's like dirty, like they got like the hoodie on.
Okay.
And like they are banging 3-6.
Yeah.
And OxyContin comes on, and they're like, yeah, let's go smoke a blunt. We step to their backyard, and I hit this weed, man. And, like, I swear, I couldn't see anything. but it was like cool, though.
Right, in a cool way. Totally.
I was like, cool. And then I'm like coughing and shit. I'm like, Jesus Christ, is this weed? Am I dying?
Yeah.
And one of the twins hands me a cup of blue Kool-Aid. And he's like, yo, drink this. You good? And I drank it, and it was the best sip of Kool-Aid in the universe.
Yep.
And I said to myself, how could this white child provide me with this glorious beverage? And I was like, oh, shit. It was just one of those moments where I was like, damn, we are connected, bro.
We're one people.
We're all one, man.
Yeah, yeah, man. I get it.
And from then on, I was, yeah, Lil White was immediately in the playlist from that day forward. It's like I knew who he was, but I just never heard him in the wild.
Mm-hmm. And you did that day.
And I did that day.
I feel like there's probably like a strong, like if you did a Venn diagram of like 3-6 Mafia related artists with like My Chemical Romance and like some of those people,
yeah,
like the audience for both those, there would be a middle section of the Venn diagram
for sure,
you know.
And then
I mean?
Like even like harder than the pop punk, like I feel like I know a ton of cats who listen to like 3-6 and stuff, and they listen to like metal,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah,
punk shit, like hardcore shit.
I mean, 3-6 Mafia is kind of metal if you think about it.
I mean, honestly,
they talk about some, I mean,
the devil. They talk stuff about doing coke and fucking worshiping the devil.
Yeah. And like, what is that? Body Parts? There's literally a series of songs called Body Parts. We back, motherfucker. We smack, motherfucker. If you step in our way, killers attack, motherfucker. But y'all know y'all done heard all that before. Y'all done seen them four foes and folks kicking your door. You done seen a gay pump at the sea of Chevy truck. Lights out next to the Mississippi River Bluff. Duck tape, hold tight. Wrong place, wrong time. Hypnotize my nuts, man. Horrorcore. That's what they were called. Yeah.
Wasn't that what it was at
yeah
that time?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, they were the horrorcore dudes.
Yeah. They owned it.
It's pretty tight.
They really owned it. Big fan of 3-6 Mafia.
You know what I man, like, you remember when just music TV in general was just, there was more like documentaries about music and stuff on TV?
Yep.
And I feel like, I don't remember what it was, but MTV was talking about like just like old rap shit one time, and it kind of brought to light, like, there were horrorcore acts, there were acts like on that hardcore shit that did not make it.
They really like committed to it, and they just
imagine trying to rap about like Ouija boards and graves. And
this, this is my thing.
And it doesn't work out. Yeah.
And like you get your friends and family to come out to your shows.
Yeah.
You're probably wearing some kind of costume or something.
Yeah. And you're rapping about like demons at 7-Eleven.
Yep.
And nobody's fucking with you.
Yeah. That's got to be soul crushing.
Tough.
Or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't think you have a soul because you, you know.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So maybe
It depends on how hard you're living your rhymes.
True. It's true. That's a good point. I think you just made a fact. Wow. Wow, Jamel.
It's a big night for me. This is big.
I feel like I had like I made a lot of CDs, as I'm going to assume you probably did back in the day. When I was like really trying to play basketball, my like practice mixes, like game day mixes, had like so much Lil White, so much 3-6 Mafia on them.
I mean, dude, the way that joint comes in, that spooky.
Should we play it? I think we should play it. We can do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do it. Let that loose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's Halloween. This is Halloween music.
Yeah.
Straight up.
They was giving us Halloween year round. What is that? Is that Halloween or what horror movie?
Do you think they actually sampled let's look it up.
It's got to be a horror movie sample. Because it's too fucking nice.
Like, did Juicy J really come up with that melody? Go on and slip it to Xanax bars.
I'm ready to get fooled. Yeah, imagine. Ain't no shame up in my game. In fact, I'm mentally deranged. Ooh.
Marilyn Manson sample. Okay. All right.
That's pretty tight. Imagine me, a 15-year-old child.
Yes.
I'm walking into some just like fancy schmancy ass single family home. Two white twins in like suicidal tendencies hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
This is blasting.
Blasting.
I'm just like, all right, here I am. This is the other side of town.
This is the other side. And yet, maybe, I mean, on that topic, maybe Lil White kind of predicted the opioid crisis.
Oh, for sure.
Because that really only affected, like, kind of affluent, like, upper middle class white families.
What you want, what you need. Yo.
Whoa.
Damn.
Whoa.
Damn, that's true, dude. I mean, 3-6, they also predicted the lean crisis.
True, true.
Dude,
that's a good point.
Everybody is just eating heroin now. What the fuck? What's going on?
No shortcuts, just straight to.
Just let me munch it up like a hungry hippo. I think I said hippo.
Yeah, you did.
As opposed to hippo.
But it's okay. That's fine.
Shit's bananas.
Yeah. Lil White did that, and also he had that that other song. We had a lot of songs. But do you remember Mosh Pit?
Oh, yeah.
Throw them in the mosh pit?
For sure.
Yeah, that was on my game day mix, for sure. Man.
You used to throw bows?
There was some bow throwing going on, like, in my head. I never got in a real fight.
Wait, a moment of silence for Crunchy Black being the worst rapper.
Bro.
Available.
I'm so glad that you're here, because there's not many people that I can talk to about Crunchy Black. This is what I have to say about Crunchy Black.
He's so bad and so important.
He always sounds like he was just happy to get invited to the session.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, he was just happy, and that's why I appreciate Crunchy Black. Like, he's just happy to be there. You know what I mean?
The ultimate rapper's good friend.
I think on, maybe it was on Riding Spinners, he has that line where he's like, it's CB, baby. I'm just in it to win it.
Yeah.
That's the perfect way to sum up Crunchy
Black.
I'm
just in it to win it.
Exactly. Shout out to... Okay.
Oh, shit.
We're on a shuffle now.
Yeah. Shouts out to goddamn UGK, man.
They did that on this song.
Yo. Rest in peace to the pimp.
Straight up.
Dude.
the first time I heard this, there are some songs.
Stick 'em up, bitch, stick 'em up. Put your hands up where I can see 'em, see 'em, see 'em. Stick 'em up.
I look like Meryl Streep right now.
You do, son. Hey, you got a white blazer on? Hey, you got a nice little white coat on? Dude, this song might be on like 6 or 7 CDs of mine. This song, I'm sure I tried to download on Napster many times.
Yep. Mm.
Stick 'em up. This was playing the first time I got twerked on.
Whoa. Where are we? Set the scene, man. Paint the picture.
This is back. This is a little closer to my ends.
Okay.
In Woodbridge.
Okay.
This is in, was it like River Woods?
I definitely would not know.
One of them hoods. One of those hoods over by Potomac High School.
Okay.
And I had been going to school there for 1 year. Okay. I transferred schools 7th grade. And I was going to rip on middle school. Mm-hmm. And this was the next school year. And I happened to live around some of the cool kids.
Okay.
I was on the bus with some of the cool kids.
Okay.
From middle school. And I was not cool.
Is that true?
I wouldn't say I was cool.
Okay.
I made a lot of moves.
Okay.
I knew a lot of people. Okay. I was shaking hands.
Kissing
I was kissing babies. I was always politicking, and I was always like doing
same.
Like trying to be funny.
Okay, same, honestly.
Hold on, this is the best part. Wait.
I'm the hollow man. I get to the hollow point with my hollow plan.
Like, what? What? You're hollow playing? You mean your plan sucks? It's mighty strange how your
peephole is my fucking brain. What the fuck? Yo, this plan is falling apart. It's crumbling right now.
This plan does not have a leg to stand on.
Yes, yes.
So I'm like, I was like just funny enough to like, you know, be accepted,
right.
But I didn't really hang with them dudes like that.
Yep.
I even played football. I was on the football team.
Yep.
You know?
And even that wasn't enough.
But I wasn't like, guys, all hang out with me, please.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, dog, we had just gotten a modem. We had just got the 56K. I was good.
We got LimeWire.
Yeah, exactly. You know we got LimeWire. I got the basement to myself. I got a boombox with a tape player on it.
Come on.
I'm recording Go-Go 95. I got a PS2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at the crib.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I got invited to Eric Dominguez's birthday party.
What up, Eric?
Shouts out to Eric Dominguez.
He played a key role in this story. He didn't even know it.
Real shit, man. And, like, I'm just there hanging out, and it's like a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
Lights off.
Okay. How is this like a similarly large house to the first story?
Yeah, I would say a little smaller.
A little smaller.
But kind of a similar vibe.
How many people are there if we had to estimate?
If I had to estimate, I would say something in the low 20s.
Okay, still pretty sizable.
This is a solid suburb basement, carpeted basement, take your shoes off, party.
Probably kind of full.
Yeah.
20-something people in there.
Pretty full.
Yep.
There's like a pool table.
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of moving around. And this shit came on.
Mm.
And like,
was there a DJ in the house that night?
No, I think they just had a little playlist.
Okay.
I think Eric and them, because it was him
respect
and his...
Respect to them.
Him and his sister, Lizeth, they're like the same age.
Okay.
So this was kind of like a dual... This was like a Dominguez like family event.
Okay.
And Eric's one of the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like all the cool kids.
Okay.
All the cheerleaders are there.
You feel lucky to be there.
All the stars.
Right.
The one kid who's actually selling drugs in 8th grade.
Right.
Is there.
He's got the Oxycontin.
He's on his shit.
Yep. Yep.
A true affair.
Yes.
And
okay.
Here I am. Here I am in my JCPenney. Top.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I don't even remember if I asked her if she... Maybe I was like, you want to dance? It was just like 8th grade. Like, nobody knew the rules. Mm-hmm.
What do we do in this moment?
Next thing I know, it's butt cheeks on me.
It's happening.
And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
Slow motion.
And then I like danced with another girl. I like danced with like three girls at this party.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm out of my mind. But then I was like drunk with power. Like the
It's too much.
It was too much. I'm asking everybody.
Yep.
And I was like,
do you want to twerk on me?
And I got a little too high. I got out of my pay grade.
Okay, okay.
And it was, you know, it got to that point where it was like, yo, dog, you got to relax. No, I'm not.
Right.
You're good.
Eric's like, I don't want to twerk on you, dog. Like, I appreciate it.
I wish I had more names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, shouts out to Eric for sure, sure.
Wow. And that happened while Stick 'Em Up was playing.
Stick 'Em Up playing. I'm having the time of my life.
Yes. They said. Stick 'Em Up. Stick 'Em Up, bitch. Stick 'Em Up. Put your hands up where I can see them. See them. Stick 'Em Up. Stick 'Em Up, bitch. Stick 'Em Up. Target niggas wouldn't want to be them. Be them. Nigga, you think it's a joke? True niggas be going for broke. Put this whistle low, then them motherfucking pistol smoking. It's just a matter of time before you label a buster. I just a nigga that couldn't catch up and cut the mustard. Now I got confidence. I don't need no condiments. All I need is common sense to see through your incompetence. Nigga, keep your compliments. They don't flatter me. You fucking with me, yeah, that'll be the day. Bitch, we don't play. You know what it gotta be, huh? Right on the side of me. Side of me. Right where it's supposed to be. In his breath like he got asthma when they cut on the blue light and see all the fucking plasma. Millennium murder master, nigga. I ain't new to this, so if you see that bunny,
yeah.
Young
like 12. Mm. Sick.
This is
super sick.
Moments of innocence lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like a dweeb.
Yeah.
I was like a dork ass dweeb.
I mean, mine was Salt Shaker the first time I, you know, felt the warmth of you know what I mean?
For sure, it's that. I know exactly.
We kept
what you
our
mean.
Bathing suits on. It was
yeah,
in a
hot nothing
tub.
Crazy.
Yeah, we keep it peaceful. Whoa.
Game-changing stuff.
Yes.
Eighth grade was a crazy year.
Yeah.
First time I got twerked on, first time I punched a guy in the face.
Whoa.
Woodbridge is nuts.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I don't think I learned anything. I think, like, first off, the middle school I went to mm-hmm. was probably the worst in the county.
Okay.
Just because, like, the principal at the time was actually embezzling money.
Nice.
Like, that was some real shit that was happening.
Nice.
One time for Miss LaScala, fucking hater. Fucking kidding. Go take money from the kids.
She was, like, fuck them kids.
Yeah, how we ain't have no field trips, lady? What the hell? And, like, I don't know. It's just the deeper you get from an actual city, mm-hmm. at least in my you know, limited experience. Mm-hmm. It's like, the less they give a shit about, like, teaching you things.
Right.
Like, the suburbs is for adults. Mm-hmm. That's for someone who's lived a life, mm-hmm. and now you got dough,
yep.
and you want to, like, have, like, you know, a comfortable home and not pay $1.5 million.
Yep.
But, like, the kids, they're just like, yo, just fucking...
Figure it out.
Figure it out, yeah. bro. And it was like... I don't know. It's a crazy mix of legit suburbs and like actual like kind of hood like areas.
Okay.
Like Woodbridge has like $1 million houses mm-hmm. and also two trailer parks.
Ooh.
And like also like legit like projects.
Okay.
So it's like all of that.
Okay.
In one town.
Okay.
And like each like school district has a little taste. Like even Forest Park, like as they tried to make it only the golf course, but they still had to like fuck with like Williamstown
right.
and like Triangle. They still had to get like a little bit of the hood action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so who'd you punch?
I punched this kid. My man, Steve. This kid, yeah. It was like, I mean, I'm new, and he's just like the bully. And he's like, hello,
I'm Steve the bully.
Yeah. Welcome to school. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. But it was never like that much of a thing. It wasn't like he ever physically bullied me before this point. It would just be like verbal stuff, which is like fine because I'm like, you know, I do my thing. But like one day, we in band. Mm-hmm. And like,
what instrument did you play?
I play bass clarinet.
Good to know. Okay.
And it's like the end of the day, and like to get to the buses, you kind of have to go down the hallway where the band room is. Mm-hmm. And you remember, like, you know those like big ass school doors where you like open them and then they like fold back?
Yes.
And it's like you like open it and you can like lock it and it just like holds open. And there's like a space. So like the band door, when you lock the door open, mm-hmm. there's like this triangle of space that's just like there. And I remember I was fucking around with the homie Jose, mm-hmm. and Jose's like a tiny kid, and we was like, yo, look, I bet Jose can fit back there in this little triangle. Equilateral triangle right, behind right, this right. door. And so we're like kind of messing around, and then Steve shows up and like is like really like trying to like shove me behind this door. But it's like, I, you know, like
you
in
didn't
a way
appreciate that.
Yeah. In a way that it was clearly not like
wasn't for fun.
Wasn't funsies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I kinda like pushed him back. I was like, yo, chill. And then he punched me.
Woo.
And this is based off nothing.
Yeah.
Like the whole school day has gone by. And it's not like Steve's fucking with me at all right. day. It's just
out of nowhere.
This is truly out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
Steve?
Yeah, Steve. I thought we had an understanding.
Yeah.
I thought you said you say I'm fat, and then I'm like, true. I thought that's what we did.
Come on, man.
And he like hits me, and I kind of backed up, and I was like, and I didn't like him, so I just. Like, I, like, kind of was shocked for a second, and I hit him.
Wow.
In his face.
Wow.
And he wasn't expecting that, because I've never punched anybody.
You probably weren't expecting that.
I think everybody in Ripon Middle School knew if they had a list of dudes who was going to punch a dude in the face, I would have to be somewhere near the bottom at this
right.
point.
Right,
of the who's going to potentially punch somebody in the face.
Right.
It would be me at the bottom, and then it would be the kid who actually punched the security guard of the school in the face.
He's towards the top.
He's
for sure.
towards the top of the list.
Easily top five on the list.
Which is the thing that for sure happened.
Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah. What was his name? Was that kid named Damien?
Probably.
Punch Mr. Harrit right in the fucking face. Mr. Harrit also sucked.
He probably deserved it.
Yeah. Not a cool dude.
Yeah.
Anywho. So I punch him. And then, as I'm hitting him, mm-hmm. a bunch of kids are, like, coming around the corner because this is where the bus people are leaving school.
So there's a crowd now.
It's a crowd. And as soon as I hit him, like, somebody's like, oh, shit.
There's always that one.
Ah!
That's what we said before World Star. We just said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, they fighting. And, like, then he punches me in the gut, mm-hmm. and then ran away.
Huh.
I'm expecting an all-out brawl now.
Wow. Just punch and run.
He hit me, and this fight ended a draw.
I hate to see that.
And it was like, I was just on the bus like, what happened? And everybody's like, yo, he punched Steve in the face. What the fuck? And I was like, son, he actually tried to fight me. It wasn't like.
But did you land more face hits? Did he even touch your face?
I punched this once.
Okay.
I landed one punch, a clean one.
On the face.
On this kid's jaw.
Okay.
And that was it.
And he got you in the gut, but then
yeah.
he dipped.
Yeah. Well, he hit me in the face first.
Oh, I didn't know the first
he
punch
hit,
was
he
in the
threw
face.
The first punch in the face.
Okay.
But that punch was enough to get me twerked on at a house party.
Wait, that's how sequentially that's
I
how
mean,
happened?
It, I mean, look,
Did the girl who twerked on you, was she witness?
Was she there? Who knows? But, I mean, it's what makes the most sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you have some clout.
Like, yeah, now that, you know, my clout points is up.
Right.
I was on middle school Raya at this point. Mm-hmm. I had enough juice.
VIP.
Yeah.
Totally.
Put me in the... Now I'm at middle school One Oak. and it's crazy.
Yeah, which it always is. Yes. Wow, that's insane, man. That's... I'll just say that you won the fight. Just
I mean, in the court of public opinion, I definitely won the fight.
Yeah,
because he ran away. Like I was prepared to finish the fight.
Yeah,
and he was the one who left the scene.
Yeah, he forfeited.
Yeah,
he lost.
Which, you know, but it's a weird forfeit. It's like forfeiting before halftime of a game, and you're like, and it's like tied, and you're like, ah.
Maybe he knew something that you didn't even know.
Yeah. I mean,
that could be it. Maybe Steve saw your greatest potential in you.
It is interesting because for years, so like after that happens, the next day, like there's like all this tension mounting because like I knew I was going to see him in PE at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like gassing the whole thing up like, what's up? Is it part two?
What's going to happen?
What y'all about to do? What's up? Mm-hmm. And people are like, yo, Steve's looking for you, son. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, dog, I mean, I was there. You fine. What do you mean look for me?
Yeah.
I'll be in PE. We'll see. And, like, we're in PE. And, like, there's, like, this, like, kind of, like locker room area. Mm-hmm. And everybody's about to walk out. And everybody's kind of, like, we're all just sitting there quietly.
Right.
And then, like, I think he, like, cracked a joke or, like, he's like, how's your face?
He went back to the jokes.
He goes back to that, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm all right. You good?
You good, Steve?
He's like, yeah. And then that was just the end of it.
Okay.
And then we were kind of friends.
Mutual respect, maybe.
It was like a weird, he's, like, kind of nice to me now. And I'm like, okay, you could have just, you know, did the joke. You know, you didn't have to.
We didn't have to take it there.
Yeah, you didn't have to sock me in the face
for
us to be friends, bro. But whatever. Everybody's got their shit. And then we go to the same high school. And we're playing football. And he was a guy who kind of pushed me. Like, I was on the bench.
Okay.
And he was, like, playing ahead of me. And he just kind of, like, pushed me to, like, you know, work harder. Wow. And, like, it was kind of, like, what eventually led to me playing.
Wow.
Like, we would, like, be in the weight room, and he was like, dog, you can go harder than that.
Wow.
I know you can. He punched me in the face that one time.
Look at the character progression from Steve.
And I was like, all right, dude, wow. I hear you. And then it's kind of weird because, like, this is what's going on, and he was always in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then senior year, I kind of got the best of him in practice one day.
Uh-oh.
And one of the assistant coaches saw this and, like, and then, you know, then I'm playing. Now I'm just kind of in the, you're more in the rotation. And then he gets kicked off the team.
What happened?
They found, like, two, like, weed seeds.
Oh,
they kicked him out for, like, two, like, seeds in his car.
Now I feel bad for Steve.
Yeah.
I didn't feel bad for him at first.
Yeah, no, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But he was also a nut. Okay. I mean, this dude, I remember one time he broke his arm, and, like, he had a cast, and he was just, like, beating the shit out of people with the cast. Like,
oh my
in
God.
Football, like, he's in the game with a club, clubbing guys.
That doesn't even seem safe.
He was wild, son.
Wow.
I remember he got a guy kicked out of a game for that. He was clubbing this dude, Clint Sintem, who played for the Giants.
Wow.
He is on a Super Bowl championship roster, this guy.
Mm.
He was, like, the best dude in the county. And Steve's, like, giving him just dirty
the
shots
business.
The whole game. And Clint loses it on him and finally shoves him. And then he was the one who got thrown out of the game.
Amazing.
And I was like, yo, Steve, you're wild, dude.
Steve did that.
I can't believe you fucking clubbed Clint Sintem.
I bet Clint never forgot that, too.
You're a nut, dude. I remember Steve powerbombed a kid in practice one time. Just like little kid. Steve was also in band. Woodbridge is a weird town.
There's a lot going on in Woodridge.
Yeah. How is the bully also in band?
Right.
We don't know, son. Right.
And he's not getting bullied for that.
Yeah, we don't know how to explain. But one of the other kids who was in band was like on JV, and they had him on scout team.
Okay.
And it's like a, my man, it's my dog, but he's just like, you know, he's like a small guy.
Sure.
And Steve's like, yo, why is Pabell the scout team running back right now?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, it should be somebody bigger than him. This isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, Steve. But then he's like, you know what? Watch this. He's like, Pabell shouldn't be out there. And I agreed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he was like, I'll demonstrate why now.
Uh-oh.
And then on the next play, he just like, he just destroys this play and picks up Pabell and literally power bombs my man.
Jesus.
My man is like Jesus 94 pounds Christ. Smoking, like soaking wet. Like. And I was like, Steve, you didn't have to.
He literally did not have to do that.
I was like, Steve, you didn't have to do that.
But that's just the kind of guy Steve is.
Steve's a complex man.
Yeah, he sounds complex.
For sure.
Wow.
Play football at a public school, which might as well be minimum security prison, nigga. It's wild. This fool's is wild. Craziest thing about football is, like, you see the players, and the players are crazy. But, like, somebody's enabling that crazy shit you see. You know what I'm saying? Coaches ain't stopping none of this madness. And, like, I remember the day it kind of hit me. We were playing, a rival school on the road. And we are getting our ass whooped. It's 42-0 at halftime. And if you don't know how football works, don't worry about the numbers. I wasn't having a good time. That's the point. Stay with me. And, like, coach comes in, and he's, like, too mad to talk. You feel me? He's fucking spinning around. He's doing Tasmanian devil-looking shit now. And he smacks the chalkboard, and he looks at us, and he's like, what the crap was that? You guys went out there and you played like your pee-pees were this big. I'll never forget it, bro. I looked at the kicker like, yo, I need to leave. It is absolutely time for me to go home. What the fuck is happening? You mean to tell me you can't curse, right? But you could comment on my dick size to the worst 50 niggas in the school, possibly the worst 50 niggas I ever met in my life. And, like, that's supposed to motivate. I'm supposed to want to play sports more now. Like, yo, fuck you. Where your PP at, nigga? You the one coached us. You calling the damn plays. What's your PP look like?
Another one of the dudes who he's definitely influential in my weed career.
Okay.
Because this is, like, the summer of that senior year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, it was like the last day of two-a-days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like real, like, you know, corny. Like, I could do some pot right now.
I could smoke some pot.
It's been a long 2 weeks of training camp. I would like to unwind with pot, sir. Like one of the first times I ever did this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was like, yo, you smoke weed?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, not really, but.
I do now.
Yeah, it was good, Steve.
Yeah.
I also have a lot of dimensions. Steven.
As we're learning.
Woodbridge is a sick place. The best thing about it is probably the outlet mall, but, you know, we'll get to that later.
Well, tell us about Where It's At by Beck.
Set
this scene for us.
Where It's At is actually earlier.
Okay. Traveling back in time.
Back in time. We're traveling to Arlington County.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans or just clap your hands or just clap your hands.
Where is that?
I lived in two of Northern Virginia's premier towns, townships, mm-hmm. as it were. And Arlington is like where most of my family's from. Okay. It's like a suburb right outside of D.C., like right across the bridge. Yep. And it was pretty black back in the day.
Gotcha.
And so when we were there, my dad signed me up for basketball camp at Marymount University,
okay,
which is in Arlington, okay. And it was like summertime for them, so nobody's really on campus, and I was like 8, and we were in like the student lounge.
Okay.
This is like 1995.
Okay.
I'm in the 1995 Marymount University student lounge.
Gotcha.
Connected to their cafeteria. And I'm bugged out that they have waffle fries in a cafeteria. I'm like, wow. Yo, I got to go to college. They got waffle fries here. And we're in the lounge, and there's like 2 pinball machines and a big screen TV, and MTV's on. Mm-hmm. And Where It's At comes on. And I'm like, yo, who is this cool-ass white dude? Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand it. That was one of the first times I believed in white people in general.
Right.
I was just like, yo, this song is tight.
Their reputation was little.
How did this white guy make this?
Yeah.
How did he make a thing I like?
Yeah.
I'm 8 and I couldn't wrap my mind around it, but it was just like, I was just like, yo, why is this white guy good?
Wow. 2 turntables and a microphone.
That's all he needed.
Yeah.
And the video was like kind of weird, but like funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is, I don't know. And that's also like one of the first times I'm like, maybe I should watch MTV. I wasn't really watching music videos to this point.
And you're like, whoa, they got some shit.
They got some shit. I don't know what this shit is.
Wow. Damn. And that was Beck. Beck did that.
Beck kind of put me on MTV. Mm-hmm. And then like MTV kind of just like fucked up my life, bro. Man, that early MTV is so good.
Yeah.
And then when they add MTV2, you remember when MTV2 was just music videos?
For a while it was only music videos.
24 hours of music videos.
What more could you want at that age?
Music videos is the best entertainment.
Easily. I used to like come home so I could catch the 50 Cent Just a Little Bit music video.
Yeah.
Because it was like kind of, you know, PG-13 a little bit.
Oh, buddy.
You know what I mean?
Because you weren't hip to BET Uncut at this point?
Oh, I was. I just knew that Just a Little Bit was going to come on right after school. In that period where it was like one of the top 10 songs or whatever.
Yeah, it was right in that block.
But we were definitely on BET Uncut for sure.
Yes.
But what are your like top like songs you remember from BET Uncut?
I mean, obviously Tip Drill.
Obviously Tip Drill, for sure.
Tip Drill is a great one. What That Thing Smell Like?
Don't remember that one. Gonna look it up.
So baby, tell me what that thing smell like. I'm trying to kick it tonight. So baby, tell me what that thing smell like.
Hey girl, where the info? Can we get down on the low low in the backseat of a Volvo? Make it shake, make it jump, make it twerk up and down just cause a young player said so. Basically,
What That Thing Smell Like is a big one for the homies.
Yeah.
What's another good one?
I remember this one called, it was by this, not Petey Petey from New York or wherever he's from, not Petey Crack, but just this guy named Petey, and he was from North Carolina, and he had a song called Poppin' and Lockin'. Do you remember this?
Poppin' and lockin', gettin' money, sippin' dope, poppin' and lockin'.
Oh. And it had like a really explicit video, like they were like naked girls in a
strip
hotel room.
Club, yeah.
I don't know another song from this guy ever that ever came out, but that one for sure stuck in my head.
God, the formula of a BET Uncut video is the best.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the strip club, guys.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the strip club during the day on like a Tuesday.
Yeah. Let's film this.
And just film this.
Yeah.
This is the video, guy. You just
we've been doing it all wrong.
Yeah, it's like 4 dudes at the strip club, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Damn, what are we gonna do for this video?" And then one of them's like, "Yo, I got it, right here.
Here, turn the cameras on. This is the magic.
This is the shit."
hands.
Yes. Yeah.
Shit. There was one of the white girls one was like white girl.
Like my white lines, but white
yeah,
girls.
But it was just white girls.
Okay.
That was one.
They used to do, there was like an extended version of Still Tippin' that had some strip club scenes.
Ooh.
That was a thing that happened for sure.
Huge.
Big for me.
Huge.
Being in Houston.
And I mean, doesn't Luda have one too?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Luda's got one that's like a big one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm blanking on it right now.
Yeah. Me
but
too.
Luda for sure had one.
Stand on my American bandstand, somersaults, cartwheels, bitch, just keep on dancing. Chinese splits, splits, slide on down that hole, hole, and feel this big, big, getting out of control, troll. Oh, no, keep going till a nigga like me say stop.
Cause I don't know if Tip Drill came out first, but like, it was an arms race.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, it wasn't a scene.
Yeah, it's a goddamn,
it was a goddamn arms race.
What do you think that song was about, dude?
It was about BET Uncut.
Yeah, it was about when Nelly dropped the Tip Drill video and every other rapper was like, no. Nelly's not beating me again.
No. And you know what? He did beat them a couple more times.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Damn, Nelly was like big, bro.
He had a run, man.
I always compare him to T-Mac. He was the T-Mac of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were both the best. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
Yep.
And like,
and now
a couple knee injuries,
really big suits.
Yeah.
You know,
sweat and suit. Man,
what an idea, what a concept.
And just when you think Nelly's gone, sweat and suit come out.
Yeah. Which I enjoyed both of those albums.
Yeah.
Very much.
I mean, yeah. Flap Your Wings will always be in my phone.
Yep. You never know when you need it.
Yeah.
Also, do you think that we, as a society, are ready to acknowledge that Murphy Lee had the best verse on the Welcome to Atlanta remix? Don't need a burner, we learn from Ike Turner. I tried to told you don't cross that bridge without permission from them St. Lunatics. St. Louis is the truth like Sojourner.
Yeah.
What a line.
I mean, that's a huge line.
It's a line.
That line was so good that they put her on the back of a quarter.
Yeah. Yep. That's actually on the Missouri quarter.
Yeah.
It's, it's just a picture of Murphy Lee.
In a big ass jersey.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yo, I can't wait till they get to the St. Lunatics in the quarter series. Because they keep like printing new quarters. And sometimes I'll look and I'll be like,
This
ain't the 50 states. What is this? They're just doing parks now?
St. Lunatics should be on there if they're doing parks.
Yeah, if they're still doing new lines of quarters like 10 years from now, the St. Lunatics are for sure going to be on the Missouri quarter.
It's happening. There's not that many famous Missourians.
Yeah, period.
You know what I mean? Period.
End of the sentence.
Yeah. So I can't wait personally. Jamel, I just want to say thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Bro, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for telling these stories. Thanks for reminiscing.
Deep cuts.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm always repeating stories on podcasts, and today I made sure to not do that.
None of these have been told before?
These are fresh cuts.
That means so much to us.
Prime cuts.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Dude, no way, man. Thank you for everything.
I would love... We need to, like, 10 years from now, we just go back and we'll listen to this and be like, damn. You know what I mean?
10 years from now, we'll be on stage. We'll be at a sold-out live event.
Okay.
Commemorating the anniversary of this podcast release.
I would love that. Would love to see that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Big time into that.
Whoa. We're at the Nostalgia Mixtape. Fucking, where are they now? At the goddamn Microsoft
Center place?
Yeah, we're just at Microsoft.
We're at Microsoft headquarters.
We're inside a compact Presario PC.
The Nostalgia Mixtape is in the Magic School Bus, and we're inside the Presario.
And somehow, we're completely sober.
Yeah, yeah.
While this is happening.
I think this is a stage in our career where we both go sober for a little bit.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know, no acid was eaten during the taping of this podcast.
Zero acid was done.
You know?
I think it's good that we let people know that.
Yeah, yeah, they should know.
Yeah, they should know. So... Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
No way. I thank you more.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, we did that.
Wow, y'all. What a great episode with Jamel Johnson. As I mentioned, very funny guy, and I'm sure you heard that in this episode. Also, like, the Steve the Bully story. What an arc on that story. Like, I really didn't like him in the beginning because he was being mean to Jamel, and I wished that I could hop in a time machine and go back and help Jamel beat up Steve the Bully. But then I ended up coming around to like really like him, like, or at least understand that he was complex. He wasn't one dimensional. He wasn't just mean. He had some character progression. He got better, more well-rounded. Yeah, that ended up being a really deep story. And, you know, the Lil White, 3-6 Mafia, Bone Thugs, Beck, the Nelly sidebar, BT Uncut sidebar, like, these are just, like, if you didn't grow up with BT Uncut, I'm sure there's clips online. Go there. Go on the internet, find the internet, and go there and look up BET Uncut. If you're not at work, if there's no one around, make sure you're by yourself. Anyway, BET Uncut, what a special time. And what a special episode. So I just want to say, once again, Jamel, thank you so much, man, for making time for the Nostalgia Mixtape, for us, for coming by the campfire. Yeah, I could do 1,000 of these with Jamel. I appreciate you so much, man. Anyway, this episode was taped at Soundworks Studios and edited and produced by Jason Crow. Catch you next time, y'all. All right, peace.